I need prayer for the message today. A subject such as this is highly opposed of Satan. I suppose every message would be opposed of the enemy. For the Word of God is sent to give us life, and Satan wants death. But the subject that we have today is, at least on my part, rarely preached. As a matter of fact, I haven't heard very many messages down through my life. It's a difficult message because it is said that if you think you have it, you generally don't. So having said that, maybe you will understand what the subject is. The topic we have on our heart today is humility. If a person should speak of having humility, it generally indicates an element of pride. Christ was the perfect example of humility. He was God in the flesh. He had all power. He had all knowledge. Yet he humbled himself to be flesh, as the song said. He came into this world when his power could have destroyed all of those that abused him at the false trial. With one word, he could have destroyed them. But it was the humility of his heart and life. His purpose to come here was to fulfill the plan of God for mankind. So without that humility and the humbling of himself, where would we be? We would not have this great salvation. And yet we have the Word of God that tells us what to do, how to do. It emphasizes humility in a saint of God to be pleasing unto the Lord. Humility is very hard to describe. I have been seeking the Lord, even, shall I say, at my age. You might say, well, you've lived long enough, you ought to know how to describe humility. I think that we just continually are reaching for it, continually asking for it. I heard about or read about this millionaire that he said, I don't need anything. I don't need God. I have everything that I desire and want. I'm able to get it. And another man listening to the conversation said, you might pray for humility. So even though in our life we might not think about how lowly that we really are, and the scripture, we hope to bring that out in the Word of God, because if we don't give you the Word of God, all of our words and our thoughts is of no value. Paul said in one place, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. And it was okay for him to say that. He had confidence that he had Christ in his life and that he was following Christ and that he could point others to the path that he was walking, and they would make heaven. So he could say that. And as I thought of that, I thought, have I ever heard anyone say, I am such an humble person, I want you to follow my example? I've never heard anyone say that, really. There could be those that have conducted their lives in such a way that they felt that way. But down through my life, even as a child, maybe we didn't just think about an individual that had true humility. But looking back, I can think of a number of the older saints that are dead and gone now that left a real example to follow as somebody that had humility. They didn't boast of it, but they demonstrated it. And so today I feel that the enemy would really like to oppose this subject, because we need to be reminded, we need our minds refreshed and renewed as to what the Word says so that we can go and do it and pursue it. And ask for it. Be like the man said, you might ask for humility. So I ask the Lord to grant humility. Humility is the absence of pride, according to the definitions. It's the absence of arrogance. It's the recognition of our nothingness. Do you really feel like you're nothing? You know, we can become so educated, and we can depend on that education. We can become so capable. It's very important for us to, even in our capabilities, to realize we're still dependent upon God. It's very important that we recognize that everything that you and I have, or abilities or capabilities or whatever you want to call them, that God gave them. That we didn't do anything to really say, I am something. I can do all. What did David say? I can do all things. He said that. But that wasn't the end of it. I can do all things through Christ. Maybe that was Paul that said that. But David also said, I can leap over a wall and run through a troop. But he couldn't do it by himself. He depended upon God as his source of energy and strength and help. So you and I this morning will have to come to the place to see ourselves as nothing, and that we can do nothing without him. Thank the Lord that he has a place for us to come to recognize how dependent that we are on the Lord. Humility is meekness. And when we say that definition, what do you think of? Who is counted the meekest person on the earth? Well, we have examples in the Old Testament. And the one that was that example, was it not Moses? We have Abraham that was counted as the friend of God. Are you a friend of God today? Do you feel a friendship with God? When we are friends, we sometimes can become real comfortable, can't we? And maybe we're not quite as on our guard. When I'm comfortable with my friend, I'm able to really express my feelings and thoughts. And God is that to us. He is that for us. He will be that kind of a friend. He is that friend that sticketh closer than even a brother, the scripture says. But I can be myself, and he can work on me. He can shape me and mold me. I love, and you all have heard me down through the years. I've used some of these same things over and over. Why? Because forever, you and I are going to be on the potter's wheel. I don't see a place that I can get off of it. Because I'm forever being shaped. I'm forever being molded. He's forever looking in my heart. He's searching our lives, our heart, our thoughts, our feelings. He knows it all. And he knows how to keep us humble. He knows exactly how to do it. And it's not always pleasant, his methods for keeping us humble. But the word of the Lord says in many places, humble yourself. You and I have a job to do. And he's given us, if we have his spirit, again, I want to emphasize how important it is to have the Holy Ghost in your life, to be sanctified holy. It is only by the Holy Spirit that it will be able to reveal to you how you need humility and how to get it and how to humble yourself. Have you ever humbled yourself? Have you ever been right and you had to take the wrong? How did you take it? Gritting your teeth and bearing it? Or did you truly say, I'm sorry, even when you were right? I had an experience many years ago. I was working in the school at Guthrie. And it was my first call to any kind of work for God. And I knew it was a call. And I was so, I hesitate to use the word excited, but I was thrilled. Excited doesn't really adequately express how wonderful it is for God to give you a call. Young people, listen to the still small voice. It's a wonderful thing to follow the Lord in a call. Not just young people. I wasn't young when that happened. And so I'm very happy to be doing something for the Lord. And it was at first, it was like a honeymoon. And the Lord does that sometimes because there's always going to come some hurt and opposition when you're working for the Lord, because the devil sees to that, and God allows it because it keeps you humble. Well, in this particular situation, I was stepping on somebody's toes and didn't know it until they let me know, and it wasn't very pleasant. And my feelings were very hurt. And I went home and I went straight to my bed and I got down by the bed and I was crying. And you know what the Lord spoke to me and said? Humble yourself. So I went to the phone, I called this person and I said, I want you to know I'm very sorry. And it humbled them. God wants humility to work in our lives for our good and for the good of others. And it will. But we have to listen to the still small voice. We then have to submit. We have to say, yes, Lord. You don't say, yes, Lord, but I was innocent. You humble yourself. So another definition is unassuming. To be unassuming, what is that? It says it's humility. There's a scripture that we're going to read that tells us that man can think pretty high of himself. We need to think lowly of ourselves. Another definition is modest. You know, we teach modesty of dress. We believe that the Word of God is very explicit about how we are to clothe our bodies, both men and women. It's not just women. But with a lifted up spirit, you can be as modestly dressed as you want, and you will not be modest. Humility, coupled with modest dress, is the beauty of the Christian life. And without it, it is ugly, it is despicable, and it is an abomination unto the Lord. To have pride and be lifted up and be all covered on the outside will not work. It needs to go hand in hand. So modesty of clothing can only be beautiful with modesty of spirit or humility. May we all strive for that. I once heard a testimony many years ago. This young man at that time had been from the world, had found the saints, was in this congregation. It's very rare for me to remember, and probably you too, certain testimonies. But this happened many, many years ago, and I've never forgotten it. He's just gotten saved, and he's just learning the ways of the Church of God and of the Word of God. And this particular Wednesday night, he got up and he said that he found it very comfortable walking with the Lord. In other words, he just felt like that he could walk side by side with the Lord. And you know, we feel that way too. We feel like that the Lord walks with us. I have felt his presence walking with me. Well, this young man felt that same way. But God gave him a revelation. And all of a sudden he realized his nothingness, his smallness, if you will, compared to God. And he said, now I see it as this. Holding God's hand, God's big. It's like a little child holding on to a father's hand. When you and I feel our nothingness, our littleness, our inabilities, the scripture says his ways are far above our ways. We can become so comfortable approaching the Lord. I do. I believe you do too, because the word of the Lord says for us to come boldly to the throne of grace to find help in time of need. that we can almost see him on our level. We mustn't lose sight of the fact that he is the Almighty God, that he is all-powerful. And yet the scripture says he condescends to men of low estate. He reaches down to you and me. And the scripture says his thoughts are so far above my thoughts. And yet, what do? I come to him and I bow and I begin to pour out my heart and he accepts it. But he wants to see something of humility. He wants us to understand that we are nothing without him. That we can do nothing without him. So Jesus, he used a little child, and that's where we're going to begin. Matthew, the 18th chapter. And talk about being a little child. Precious little children. Aren't little children precious? Aren't little children a delight to us adults? We love to see their immaturity. We love to see how they learn. We love to watch them learn to walk. But don't we love to watch them and hear them learn to talk? And how they don't really say the words exactly like we do, as plain, and yet as time goes by, they begin to form sentences. And it's such a pleasure. But they're just little children. And so when they do misbehave, what do we say? I mean, this grandma, I try to protect that little grandson. Oh, he's just a little boy. He'll grow up. And the answer is, but grandma, I got to correct him right now. Well, Jesus used little children. And so let's read, starting at verses 3 and read verse 4. Jesus said, and he was saying this to his disciples, he said, "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me." And you know, I missed verse 3. So let's go back to verse 3. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as a little child, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." There's many different characteristics about a little child that will pay you and me to observe and learn. We were all little children at one time, and we became adults, and we became what we called mature. We put away childish things. It said, the scripture says that when I became a man, I put away childish things. But for me to learn what Jesus is saying here is for me to observe little children. How do they act when they're corrected? I know we have every nature out there, and some of them will throw absolute fits. But that child that it is easily corrected is a delight to the parent. It's a delight. That child that humbles himself or herself quickly is a delight. We all have different natures and characteristics. We're born that way. God is wanting to mold and shape that on the wheel. I had a child that was not easy to correct. It was, I would almost be whipping myself as much as I was whipping her, holding on to one arm and she's just going in circles. And then I had another child that would get up real close to me, I was whipping myself again because they were, and they would start crying before I'd ever put a lick on them. If I even raised my voice to this child, she would start crying. She was tender. You know, the Lord is wanting us to be like little children with Him, because He's going to have to correct us sometimes. We're just grown up children. And when those times come that He has to correct us, don't you know He's doing it because He loves you? I remember my mother would always say that. My mother was a strong disciplinarian. We had blood stripes on our legs. But she would always say, you know, I do that because I love you. I don't feel love. At the time of the correction, we will not feel love. Little children will maybe not feel loved at the time that they're being corrected. But the scripture says the end result, what we're looking for, and that's what God is looking for in your life and mine when He sees us begin to humble ourselves. I've said this before. I was down praying one day. I don't know. The Lord just brought this to my mind. It wasn't like I was seeking to understand it, but I had always had a question about the scripture that said that the servant of the Lord that knew the will of the Father and did it not was beat with many stripes. And then the servant of the Lord that didn't know the will of the Father was beaten with few stripes. And one day the Lord just pulled back the curtain and allowed me to see. I was thinking that was degrees of punishment in hell. Do you think there's going to be degrees? Hell is going to be hell. It will be miserable. It will be suffering for all eternity. It won't be worse one day and less the next. But the Lord spoke to me, and He said, no, that's in this life. And He revealed it's His correction. We sometimes will be corrected in a milder form than in a much stronger form. And I got a vision of it. Is heaven worth it all? Heaven is worth it all. All that we go through here, heaven is worth it. Isn't it? And so the Lord inspired me. And I began to make it a matter of prayer for myself. Lord, beat me with many stripes if that's what it will take for me to make heaven. Do you think the Lord is pleased with an attitude like that? I'm going to encourage you all, don't be afraid of the correction of the Lord. You young people, don't draw back if it means you making heaven. It's worth it. His grace is sufficient. So we have to become like a little child and allow Him to work in us and through us and perform the corrections. Doesn't the scripture say that if He corrects us, He treats us as we are His own child? If He withholds us, if He leaves us to ourselves, what does the scripture say? It will bring shame. It says it will bring the mother to shame. And I'm wondering if that really isn't the church of God. You want to live for the Lord, but you haven't humbled yourself. And so the Lord is beginning to try to put these corrections in your life. And you're self-willed. And He lets you alone then. it will bring the church to shame. I don't want to be a shame to the church of God. I want to compare a couple of people in the 18th chapter of Luke. And this is familiar to us, but it still speaks to us of humility. We're going to look at verses 9 through 14. It said that Jesus spake a parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous. The caution from that is that we must never trust in our own righteousness. We must never think that we are good enough to make heaven if we're not. Trusting in myself, there is no trust in God and there is no humility. It is a spirit of pride if I am thinking I am good enough. If I justify myself, if I think I'm good when I'm not, that in itself, as we said a while ago, is despicable in the eyes of God. So he brought this parable, and he's talking about people that were trusting in themselves that they were righteous. The scripture says that your righteousness and my righteousness is as filthy rags. That you and I need the righteousness of God. We cannot claim any goodness that will save us in the end. If we did, we wouldn't need Christ. But we need Christ and we need his blood. So Jesus gave them this parable about two men that had gone to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other a publican. Now the Pharisee stood and prayed, the scripture says, with himself. He was not praying to God. His words were simply giving himself pleasure and building himself up in pride. There was no humility in his life at all. Jesus even said here that those that were trusting in their own righteousness, they despised others. They only looked to themselves. They were lifted up. And this man was lifted up and he said, I am not like other men. Now I can just sort of envision this man. He didn't even bow his head. This man, I can just sort of see it. He wanted people to see him. He wanted people to hear him. And he said, I'm not like other men. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm not like the adulterers or even as this publican that's next to me over here. I'm not like that. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. I'm a pretty good man. But the publican, he was standing afar off. He would not even lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. But he smote upon his breast. And he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, which one of these found favor then with me? Doesn't say it like that, but I'm saying that. Which one of these did God look on and find favor? Well, we all know the answer. It was the man that humbled himself. It was the man that was lowly in his own eyes, that knew he could not save himself by his own goodness. And he found favor. Jesus said in the 14th verse, he said, "For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." The next passage, which is also a parable, is in the 14th chapter of Luke. And this one, I feel, is just wisdom for us all to learn a little lesson today. I'm going to be looking at 7 through 11 in the 14th chapter. And again, he put forth a parable to those which were bidden. Now, they were bidden to a wedding. And it says, "When he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, there was an observation here. All of the guests were coming to the wedding feast. Wasn't in a chapel like this. It was probably in a house, or I suppose, because it said that they chose the best rooms to sit in. And so Jesus said this, "When you are bidden to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room or the best room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden." Verse 9, it says, "He that bade thee and he that bade thee would have to come and say, 'Give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room.'" Now, this parable is just to sort of give us counsel of how to behave ourselves, not necessarily at a wedding, but in all stations of life. Don't ever think that you're so important that you should have the best seat or the best place. Because when somebody else then comes and you have to give it up, you will feel so ashamed. Now, God humbles us sometimes when we think we're something and we're nothing. And that's a way to be humbled. Would you want to be humbled that way? Or would you prefer to humble yourself and say, I'll not take the chief room or the chief seat? And then it says, "But when thou art bidden, sit down in the lowest room, that he that bade thee may come and say, 'Friend, go up higher.'" That sounds good, doesn't it? Sounds much better than, "You need to go back." "For whosoever," verse 11, "exalteth himself shall be abased." Here Jesus gave us two different parables, ending with the very same thing, the exhortation. If you exalt yourself, you will be abased. "But if you will humble yourself, you shall be exalted." There's a scripture that says there is lifting up. He does want to lift us up. But he can't do it if we're full of pride and self-exaltation. He has to see that spirit of humility working in our life. Now, there is a scripture over in Proverbs 15 and parts of verse 32 and 33. 32 says, "He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding." Now, the last part of the 33 says, "Before honor is humility." God cannot allow us to have honor if he can't trust us with it. If God cannot trust you with the precious things that he has for us, he can't give them to us. Have you ever desired a gift? One of the gifts of the Spirit? One of the gifts that would work in the body of Christ? Did you know that the scripture says that we are to covet earnestly the best gifts? Did you know that unless you have an humble spirit, that you're not seeking for a reputation, God can't give it to you unless you are humble? Unless you would be as Saul was, when Saul, King Saul, he was chosen to be king over Israel. He said, I'm the least. My family is the least. He didn't feel lifted up at all. As a matter of fact, when they were to crown him, he hid away, it said, among the stuff. And he was head and shoulders taller than everyone else. Had he been out among the people, they would have spotted him instantly. But when it came down to it, he humbled himself and went and hid himself. Now we also know he changed. He became a man that was lifted up in pride. And his end is not one that we want to follow. But his beginning was. So if you are seeking for, do you want the church of God to prosper? You want our congregation to prosper? You want the congregation where you are to be in health and strength and all of the works of all of the gifts of the body operating in it? I want that. Then we have to humble ourselves. We have to think ourselves as nothing. And when we go before the Lord and we say, Lord, the word says for me to covet earnestly the best gift. And we start seeking for it. Did you know that you have to be hid among the stuff? If you have the gift of healing, if you have the gift of faith, if you have the gift of miracles, whatever the gifts are, the Lord wants to use it in a hidden way. He does not want you to have this reputation that men will lift you up, and men do lift up men. It's the downfall of many people. Ministers have fallen because man has lifted them up. Oh, I want to tell you, the Lord wants an humble man, a lowly man, a man that he can use in his kingdom, a man that he can use in the congregation, or a woman. And it's through humility. Thank the Lord. So honor does not come unless you have humility. Let's come down to the close of our thought today. I want you to turn with me to 1 Peter 5 and verse 5 and 6, parts of 5 and 6. It starts out and it says, be clothed in humility. Now, what does it mean to be clothed? Covered. The spirit of humility, which is the spirit of Christ, can cover you. Can be in every attitude, can be in every conduct of your life, can be in the words that you speak, can be in all of your relationships with your family, on the job, in the school, wherever you are. This spirit of humility can cover you, clothe you. And then it says, and there's two scriptures that nearly speak the same thing. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. And then it says, humble yourself. It's your job. It's my job. by the Spirit of the Lord to recognize. And it says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. And then again in James 4, 6 through 10, just parts of those verses, it says, God resists the proud. So we've got two scriptures. There's more than that, but we're giving you two. But giveth grace to the humble. Then it says, submit yourself to God, draw nigh to God. I'm giving you just portions of those verses. He will draw nigh to you, be afflicted and mourn. What does that mean? To be afflicted and mourn, is that to go around and just cry all the time? You know, when I first started in the ministry, I cried a lot in the pulpit. And the Lord spoke to me one day and he said, it's time for you to grow up. There is a maturity that he wants us to have that we can handle those things that come to us in a gracious way and be humble and receive it for good and allow it to work in our life. And this is the instructions that he gives us here. Be afflicted and mourn. You know that scripture that says, you know how they used to fast? They put dust on themselves and they were in sackcloth and ashes. And everyone that looked on saw that they were fasting because of their fashion. But then Jesus came along and he said, people aren't to know when you're fasting. It's to be done in secret because then I will reward you openly. And when we sometimes have these hurts, it is so much better if we're able to have that grace within us that we don't have to appear so broken. And that's what I was. I couldn't hide it. I had it on my face. But when the Lord gave me the victory, this congregation knew it. They saw it on my face. That's what the Lord is trying to do with all of us, is humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. The other scripture says, humble thyself before the eyes of God. He's looking on. And then to close with, the third chapter of Colossians, I want to encourage you young people or anyone else, the third chapter of Colossians is a very good chapter to read in your devotions. There's a lot of things in this third chapter that can help you and me. I have little identifying titles, if you will. I've got a Chain Thompson Bible, and it gives these little categories along the side here. And I just want to share those with you. This third chapter, it begins and it's described this way, holy ambitions and affections. Do you have any holy ambitions? What is holy ambitions? So I have a reputation, so everybody sees me, so everybody knows, everybody. That's not holy. To have holy ambitions is to really be desiring to promote Christ and his kingdom and his church. That's what that's all about. Holy ambitions and affections. Holy affections. We sang a song today. I love thy kingdom, Lord. Remember us singing it today? Do you love his kingdom? Oh, I want to tell you, that's a wonderful song. I love thy kingdom. I love, it tells everything for us to love. I love thy word. Oh, let us love living for the Lord. Love it. It will not be a trial if you're loving living for the Lord. Another one is a good chapter. It has exhortations to have a mind on things of heavenly worth. It's in that chapter. So you want something to study for your devotions? Try that chapter, Colossians 3. It also addresses Christian graces. That's what the little titles say. And then I'm looking at verse 12 as ending with. It says, put on. What does that mean? Take into your life. Seek after it. Have a holy ambition for it. Have a holy affection for it. And this is what it is. And it says, as the elect of God. Who is the elect of God? The saints, the people of God, the redeemed of the earth, the saved, the sanctified. That's the elect of God. And then it called the elect of God holy and beloved. And it's telling us now something to put on. Put on bowels of mercy. Put on kindness. And the last one is what I want you to think on. Humbleness of mind. Let your mind be filled with humility. Jesus said in one place, I believe Paul said it, speaking of Christ, let this mind be in you. The mind of Christ. Pray for me. I want to have the spirit of humility working in my life. Amen.